There are dire warnings about the planet heating up, especially this week with the world's top climate scientists putting out a big report with grim projections. But a part of that report that got a lot less attention than its predictions of more heat waves, droughts, and melting glaciers pointed to a hopeful path that it might still be possible to take. NPR's Dan Charles has that story.
This vision of the future in which climate change ends comes from giant computer simulations of the world economy, half a dozen different ones at big research institutes, mostly in Europe, created by scientists like Detlef van Vuren at the Netherlands Environmental Assessment Agency.
What we really are mostly doing is trying to explore what is needed to meet the Paris goals.
The Paris goals are keep the world from heating up more than about 3.5 degrees Fahrenheit compared to a couple of centuries ago. It'll mean cutting net greenhouse emissions to zero very soon, within about 40 years. It would require profound changes, so profound it's not immediately clear that it's even feasible, which is why van Vuren and his colleagues turned to their computer models for help.
How is it possible to go to zero emissions? So that's for transport, that's for housing, that's for electricity.
These models start with data about the world as it is right now, about cars and buses and auto rickshaws, home furnaces and rice paddies, anything that releases greenhouse gases. Also, what it would cost to do things differently. And then the scientists introduce a new requirement, try to hit that target in a way that's technologically and economically feasible. And the good news is the models found a way. In fact, according to Kevan Riahi at the International Institute for Applied Systems in Austria, they found multiple paths to zero carbon.
So the models tell us that there are, first of all, alternative pathways possible, that there are choices available to the decision maker.
Different models show a variety of visions of this future world, but they're all dramatically different from our world today. Some show people responding to higher energy prices or government regulations by changing their lifestyle, living in smaller energy-saving houses, or giving up their cars in favor of a new and better kind of public transit, with autonomous vehicles that respond like Uber, taking people where they need to go. Others show people still using plenty of energy. Those scenarios require a huge boost in production of clean electricity, 10 or 20 times more land covered with solar and wind farms compared to now, plus more power plants burning wood or other biofuels, outfitted with equipment to capture and store the carbon dioxide that's released. Now, Riahi is quick to say what happens in the models may not be feasible in real life. He used to make that mistake.
There are phases in a modeler's life. I would say there's this early phase where you start to believe that the model is the absolute truth.
Models can't actually predict the future, Riahi says. They don't account for political obstruction or a lot of human preferences. People may just want to drive an expensive car rather than take public transit. But the models can also be way too pessimistic. 10 years ago, van Vuren says, they never anticipated the rise of cheap solar power.
We have been in the extremely fortunate situation that cost of renewables have declined rapidly in the last decade.
For all their shortcomings, though, these models are still the primary way that scientists and policymakers figure out their options for the future. They're like fuzzy maps showing routes to avoid disaster. Dan Charles, NPR News.